No, I'm good.
Okay, I heard a shiur recently by Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita, where he was discussing, I think in Camp Aguda, he was discussing issues that come up, shilas that come up in camp. And one thing I learned is that the shilas that come up in Camp Aguda are not the same shilas that come up in Camp Keli. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to talk about for 10 minutes. Originally this was supposed to be a half hour shiur in a half hour from now, but we're doing it now in 10 minutes, so you know, if you're expecting a two-minute shiur, I'm sorry. It's going to be about 10 minutes. We're going to go through about 10 different things that come up, 10 different halachos that come up when you're a counselor, particularly in Camp Keli, but really in general when you're a counselor anywhere, I think. Five of these things are going to be Ben Adam L'Chavero, five Ben Adam L'Makom. Let's start with the Ben Adam L'Chavero type of issues. The first issue, of course, is the issue of Lashon Hara, that a person has to be very careful when talking about campers. A lot of times there are campers that have issues that they're going through that need to be spoken about with people in positions of authority, or more importantly, people in positions who can help them. But it is not free license to speak about a kid with whomever in whichever way you would like. The Chavetz Chaim is very clear about speaking Lashon Hara L'Toeles, that it is sometimes warranted, but even when warranted, there are a whole bunch of conditions that have to be met. You have to know that everything that you're saying is accurate from first-hand knowledge. You have to know that they did something wrong and that there's no way to be melamed zechus. You have to have confronted the person. You're not allowed to exaggerate a kihuzeh. You cannot exaggerate even a little bit. And probably the most important of all of the conditions that the Chavetz Chaim has is that your intentions must be pure. Your intentions must be to help the person and not just to say a geshmak, a piece of lashon hara. Second issue, and I think this perhaps is even more prevalent than the issue of lashon hara, as big a deal as we make of lashon hara, and that is ona'as devarim. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Mem Gimel writes that lashon hara and ona'as devarim, he puts them together, are both things that we have to start training children in at a very young age, because it's very easy to fall prey to these things, to develop bad habits in this area. Ona'as devarim, of course, means just being mean, not being a nice person, saying mean things to other people, saying hurtful words to other people. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Metzia, it's worse than ona'as mamon. Ona'as mamon means you overcharge somebody, you rip them off. But ona'as devarim is even worse. It's much more personal. It cannot be taken back. It cannot be returned. And only you know your intention when it comes to ona'as devarim. Only you know if you were actually trying to be hurtful or not. And it can even be done without words. It could be done with a glance. It could be done with a smirk. It could be done in ways that don't even require speaking any words. The Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah Samechei, says that it's more important to be careful when dealing with vulnerable people. And that's why we're so careful. The Torah tells us to be so careful with a woman, with a child, with a ger. 36 times in the Torah tells us how nice we have to be to gerim. Because if a person feels uncomfortable, if a person feels like an outsider, if a person is in a vulnerable position, like, for example, a child who was away from his parents, particularly a homesick child, well, in such a case, we have to be extra careful in making sure that we're sensitive to them. The third issue is an issue of lo sachmod. The Torah tells us we're not allowed to covet that which does not belong to us, and we're not allowed to apply subtle pressure to get people to give us things or to do things for us. So when it comes, you see someone has a snack or a game or something to make them feel bad to the point that they feel like they have no choice but to share it. A fourth Ben Adam L'Chavero issue is an Isser of Chanufa. One is not allowed to falsely flatter someone if someone does something wrong, but he's a rich kid and it's just before visiting day, and you know you want to make nice, you want to make sure, you have to be careful. Everyone should be treated in an honest and straightforward kind of way. Or he's a staff kid and you know you want his father or mother to like you or something. A person should be careful. Kids are very sensitive to to what they perceive as playing favorites. And that's even if you're not actually playing favorites, kids are very sensitive to that kind of issue, and a person should be careful not to do that. Naturally, you're going to get along with certain people better than you get along with other people, and the same is true with your campers. But even though that is natural, one has to be on guard when it comes to that. And there's an issur in the Torah, the fifth Ben Adam Chaveru issue, Lo Sisna Esachicha Bilvavecha. Not a lot of hate people. And if sometimes it's just that one kid that gets on your nerves. That one kid that really bothers you, that really, just seems to make all the wrong decisions, do all of the wrong things. It's important to get into the mindset of finding a person's positive qualities, trying to see what makes him behave in that way, and if need be, to feel bad for him, that he feels the need to lash out in that way, rather than to get angry as a response to that kind of behavior. Those are the Bein Adam some of the Bein Adam L'Chaveru issues I was able to think of this morning. Bein Adam L'Makom issues are as follows. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and let's start with this. The Torah tells us that there is a chiyuv to learn Torah. So you have to learn Torah, even big chiddush here, if you're a counselor. There's a chiyuv to learn Torah. Rabbi Reisman mentioned in his shiur, Rabbi Reisman, you should understand, is a Rashiv of Torah Vadas. He's a person who probably has been on the fast track to the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah since he was like 16 years old. He said that he was never in a summer program that was a full-time learning program in his life. He was a counselor for many, many years in camp. So what did he do when his kids went to learning groups? He went to learn. When his kids, when the JC took an activity, so over here it's all counselors, when the other counselor took an activity, he went to learn. Of course he spent all of the time that he was supposed to with the campers, but a person has to learn Torah. How terrible it is if a counselor spends a whole bunch of time telling kids, you better get to learning groups, you better get to learning groups. Why do you need to get to learning groups? So I can take a nap. What kind of message does that send to the campers that learning is only important for them and not for the counselors? So that is one. A second Bein Adam L'Makom issue, a person has to realize there's such a thing called Zman Kriyashma and Zman Tfila. Now, we don't always make Zman Kriyashma in the Minyanim here in camp, but that's no excuse for us personally not to make Zman Kriyashma. Now, it's true, saying Kriya Shema in Birchos Seha is a much greater kiyum of Kriya Shema. But nevertheless, I would argue that when you decide to be in camp, you decide to be with the program that you signed up for. No one forced you to sign up for coming to camp and to be a counselor, but you're with the program. And as much as I hate camp time, and I think it's it's a reality. And therefore, one has to make sure that we're cognizant of when Zman Kriya Shema is, and make sure that we make Zman Kriya Shema every day. As Rav Lichtenstein, Zichron Levracha, once, I think he quoted from Rav Huttner, that if Yeshiva Bachram would understand that missing Zman Kriya Shema is like lighting Ner Chanukah on Purim, then they would realize that it's something that's an important thing to do. It's just not the Kiyum HaMitzvah. The third issue is an issue of Tznius. A lot of times around the bunk, people don't realize that men have an obligation of Tznius as well. It's not the same as it is with women, because there's only one area of a man's body that's objectively considered Erva and must always be covered. But nevertheless, the Pasuk tells us, Vatznei Aleches, Im Hashem Elokecha, Shulchan Aruch and Simon Beis talks about making sure to not ever think, oh, I'm alone, no one's looking at me. But certainly when you're actually not alone, one has to set a proper standard in Tznius. Not to go overboard, not to be crazy about it, but to set a proper standard in Tznius. I'm not going to get into more details about that. Fourth issue, a person's going to be drinking water all day. You're going from activity to activity. Very common shaila. How many times do you have to say a bracha of shahakal on the water that you are drinking throughout the day? So I would suggest that if you never said a bracha achrona and you're outside the entire time, going from the basketball court to the hockey court, so then you can continue to drink more and more water without saying a bracha. You never had a hard stop. However, if you go into a building or out of a building, or you take a nap or something, or you said a bracha achrona, then it would require a new bracha rishona on water. And finally, probably the most common camp issue, and that is food under the bed. The Shulchan Aruch passes based on Gemara Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Beis, that the Shulchan Aruch has a whole simon in Yerdeh, Simon Kuf Tes Zayin, about Dvarim Asurim Mishum Sakana, things that are asur because they are dangerous. Food under a bed is one of those things. The Darkei Tshuva suggests that it's only a bed that's ra'i for Tashmish Hamita, which would mean that it does not apply to the beds in a bunk in camp, but nevertheless, it seems that we don't paskin that way. It seems that most are concerned for food left under a bed. Darkei Tshuva suggests maybe it's only for cooked foods. Again, it doesn't seem that we paskin that way. There are poskim that are makil if it's wrapped up really well in a container of some sort, or it's not directly on the floor under the bed, it's elevated off of the floor. You can find poskim that say all of these things, but much, much better is to not have food under a bed, or to not leave food under a bed that a person sleeps on. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Basra that under a bed of a Talmud Chacham you find his shoes, and that's pretty much it. And under a bed of an Amaretz, you find it looks like a warehouse under a bed of an Amaretz. So a person should try to be neat, should try to have an orderly bunk, but ideally, if there's somewhere else to keep the food, there isn't always, but if there's somewhere else to keep the food, that would l'chora be a better thing to do. Have a wonderful day, everybody.